Okay, I want to acknowledge our sponsors, Jake and Karen Abelevitz, for sponsoring our lunch and our Divrei Torah, our learning together. Ilu Nishmas, Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham, the Neshamas should have an Aliyah. So I want to talk about today a well-trodden topic, but I think worthwhile to review nevertheless, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu's somewhat strange response to the Chet HaEgel of smashing the Luchos. And a lot has been written on it, and hopefully we'll share something which is which we haven't entirely heard before. So let's just turn to the relevant psukim in the Chumash. And this is page 496, Perek Lamed Beis. And let's just read some of the psukim together. Okay, so actually, let's start from the beginning of the parak, and we'll just skim. 492. Vayar ha'am ki voshesh Moshe l'arenes min ha'har. The people saw that Moshe was tarrying, delaying, coming down from the mountain. Vayakel ha'am al haron vayomer elav kuma selanu Elohim asher yolchu lefaneinu ki ze Moshe ha'ish asher halanu mitzrayim lo yadanu mehayalanu. We don't know where Moshe is. And we want to make some type of Elohim. We'll debate whether that means a replacement of God, a replacement of Moshe. But whatever it is, they want to do something to help them along because Moshe hasn't come down. And Aaron instructs them to collect all the gold. And they do so. They take it all together. And they vayotzar oso bacheret vayaseu egel masecha. And they form this egel, and Aharon sees vayiven mizbeach lefanav vayikra vayomer chag l'Hashem machar. We're going to celebrate. And now pasuk 7. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lechret kishiches ha'am. Go down because the people have been corrupted. Saru maher min aderech asher tzivisem asu lahem egel masecha. They've quickly wandered, strayed from the path. Pasuk 9. Vayomer Hashem Moshe ra'isias ha'am azeh. This is a stiff-necked people. I'm going to destroy the people. Bottom of the same page, pasuk 15. And Moshe turns and descends from the mountain with two tablets, with two pillars, in his hand. Luchos kisuvim mishnei vrehem mizeh umizeh heim kisuvim. They are engraved on both sides. V'haluchos maaseh Elohim heima v'hamichtav michtav Elohim hu charos ala luchos. Pasuk 17. And Yehoshua hears Vayomer al Moshe, and he says to Moshe, there's rumblings in the camp. There is the sound of battle fury in the camp. Vayomer ein kol anos gvura v'ein kol anos chalusha. Kolanos anochi shomea. He says, not a sound shouting of strength or of weakness. It's a sound of distress. And this is the central pasuk. This is the main pasuk I want to focus on. And as he approached the camp, and he saw the egel, umicholos, and the dancing, vayicharaf Moshe, Moshe became angry. Vayicharaf. Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos, vayishabero sam tachas ahar, and he throws the luchos from his hand, vayishabero sam, and he smashes them, he destroys them, he breaks them at the foot of the mountain. And the story continues. I'm going to just read one more. Pasuk, vayikach es ha'egel asher asu vayisrof ba'esh, vayitchan ad asher dak, and he takes the egel, and he grinds it up, and then he uses it to make this some type of potion, and etc. And the story continues. Okay, the essential question that I would like to understand, which again not the first time this question has been raised in Jewish history, what is going on here with Moshe? Was Moshe's How do we understand Moshe's response? Pasuk says that he threw the luchos down. So my question is, I'm going to ask you to sort of make a judgment call on Moshe Rabbeinu. Was Moshe Rabbeinu's response justified, not justified? Should the Torah be critical of Moshe? Is the Torah critical of Moshe in these psukim? Is this something which is entirely justifiable, and this is a model for us? So how do we understand Moshe Rabbeinu's response to the Chet HaEgel, either textually speaking or even just from your own sort of commentary, if you will, based on the context of what was going on? So how do you understand it? Anybody? Don't have enough information. Okay, so this will be an a priori speculation. Just speculate, if you will, for a moment, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is told that things are going wrong in the camp. He goes to the camp, he gets angry. Vayashlechmi adavis haluchos, he throws them down, and he breaks them, right? He threw down the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. Moshe says to Aaron, what did you do that you brought this upon the people? Aaron explains himself. Okay, back and forth. So if I were telling you the story, Hashem told Moshe what was going on, and Moshe responded, and you had to guess, let's say the psukim stopped there, right? And you had to guess what the next few psukim would say. Would you have guessed that it would have said, and Moshe took the luchos and smashed them in front of the people? The answer might be yes to that question. But I'm curious, is that what you would have suspected? Or would you have suspected possibly something else? And if so, what would you have suspected the response to be, potentially? Anybody? You suspected that he was going to come down and smash the luchos. Okay? Okay, fine. Yeah?
I don't know what I expected, but I know as a kid, I certainly did not expect it.
Okay.
And even as an adult, it's not what you would expect.
Good. It's not what you... I think that it certainly defies some measure of expectations. And why is it not what you would expect?
He's holding the holiest thing that he just got.
It's God's gift. To the people. It's not like,
right. So
it didn't belong to him per se. Yeah.
Right. So here he has something which is extraordinarily holy, as Joy said. Yanki took a slightly different spin on it. It's not his to deal with. It actually belongs either to Hashem or it belongs to the people. But this is not private property, whatever it is. So for Moshe to smash the luchos is somewhat startling. Okay, any other reasons why you would either have expected this or not expect? Why would you have expected it, Elise?
He didn't want the people to have the responsibility of seeing it and then having to bear the consequences from God, because you saw it and you knew what it was, and.
So that's why he smashed it? So Elise is saying that he didn't want people to bear the consequences of it. So he didn't want the people to see it. Oh, I should use this. Wait a minute. I have another one. Let's see. Do we have another color? Yes. Here we go. So it's either astonishing for the reasons that Yanki and Joy said, or it's entirely expected because of the fact that you don't want people to bear the consequences. Now, if you don't want people to bear the consequences, I heard very carefully what you said, Elise. You said, and therefore he didn't want the people to see it. There is another way for Moshe to accomplish that goal other than smashing the luchos. He could have taken it and put it in the closet. If the idea was that the people shouldn't see it and thus not bear the consequences, he didn't actually have to give it to them. So okay, but you're suggesting that this was his goal. Okay. Any other ways to look at this? Either positively, why this is entirely expected or appropriate, or why this is problematic and needs some type of explanation.
To tell you the truth, I came in late. I'm sorry.
Okay, you probably. Oh, so that's a good question. When exactly did he break the tablets? So what? So say your question again. I didn't say that. Okay, so what's your question? My question is, why did Moshe break the tablets? My question is, why did Moshe break the tablets? It seems to be somewhat startling that Moshe would have broken them. God told him that the people were doing bad stuff, and Moshe, the Pasuk says, got upset and he broke the tablets, which don't belong to him and are the holiest of things. So sort of defies expectations. Elise is saying that it doesn't defy expectations because he was actually trying to help the people. So we're trying to understand what it is about Moshe breaking the Luchos. Okay, any other sort of a priori comments before we move on? Okay, so regardless of where he broke them, does it make a difference to you if he broke them people seeing it or if he broke them people not seeing it?
Yeah.
So how so? Okay, so, all right, okay, yeah. Judy, you wanted to say something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Rabbi, I mean, basically, the people were in such a frenzy, circling around the idol, doing everything relating to a different god, that they were so immersed in it that they needed some real shock.
Right,
in order to
shock value.
Out.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so this is shock value. So if it was shock value, then...
In addition to other reasons.
If it was shock value, then it would have to be that they saw it, right? So it only works if they saw it for its shock value. If it's about bearing the consequences, they didn't necessarily they didn't. Moshe didn't want them to bear the consequences of having these responsibilities. So he, you know, could have done it even without seeing it. Okay. And if it's what's the simple pshat of the pasuk? What's the simple pshat of the pasuk? Why did Moshe break the luchos? Just reading the words of the pasuk without superimposing any background or commentary to it. Why did, according to the pasuk, why did he do it? Because he was angry. All right. So Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. So the text of the pasuk would more support the fact that Moshe did something which was problematic than something which was justifiable. Because if it were shock value, it's not telling us that the fact that Moshe got angry is not why he did it. It was to serve the people. If it was that they shouldn't bear the consequences, then his getting angry is irrelevant. So the simple pshat of the pasuk would support the more problematic read, which is that he did it for really not good reasons. Being angry is not a great reason. So, is there anything in the pasuk, in the pshat of the pasuk, that would indicate the more justifiable approaches or a justifiable approach? There is actually, but you'd have to have some sensitivity to the nuance of Hebrew grammar. I'll just read it out loud for you. Vayihi kasher karav al ha-machaneh, vayaris ha-egel mecholos. So he came close, and he saw what was going on. Vayichar af Moshe, vayashlech miyadav es haluchos. So a little bit of a grammatical nuance here. Yeah.
It was strong.
So, Vayashlech Miyadav, right? So, how does I'm curious. Does anybody have a Hertz Chumash with them? I'm curious how the Hertz translates it. How does the Art Scroll translate it, Judy? Somebody just what's the Art Scroll's translation? Pasuk 19. What does it say? Vayashlech Miyadav translates as. Right, and he threw it from his hands. I'm just curious, let's just take a quick look at the Hertz if they have a different translation here. 32:19, and it came to pass, and Moses' anger waxed, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. Okay, so there is a, what we'll see in a couple of minutes, Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos, does that mean that he threw them, cast them, or they were thrown from? Vayashlech miyadav, Vayishlach means to send forth, Vayashlech, maybe it means to throw, or maybe Vayashlech miyadav, from, like, you know, what does it mean? Even if it means that he threw it, he threw it from his hands. He cast it away from his hands. So there is some nuance here that leads some commentators to suggest that Vayashlech miyadav does not mean and he cast it away. That it left his hands. It left his hands. But that there's another little nuance here if you do a careful reading. Vayhi kasher karav el hamachaneh. He came close to the camp. Right? He came close to the camp. In other words, when Hashem told him what was going on, he didn't get angry and drop the stuff. Even when Yehoshua told him what was going on, I mean, God is a good witness, right? God is a good witness. Yoshua, if he doesn't believe Hashem's, should also be a pretty good witness. Vayishma Yoshua ve'omer Moshe, and he says to Moshe. But it's only by Hikasher karav el hamachaneh. He has to get close to the camp. So it seems that that being in the presence of the people is significant. So if it's simply about Moshe getting angry, then he doesn't really have to be in the presence of the people. But if it's about shock, shock value, then they have to see it in order for them to be shocked. If you're in your room and you say, "I'm very upset at you," this is the equivalent of a slap across the face, if you will, but if the person isn't there, to be shocked, then where's the shock value? So the idea that that the Torah emphasizes that Moshe got close to the camp before he got angry, right? I think anybody who has either experienced a parenting or experienced any type or has learned any type of disciplinary behavior, right? Getting angry doesn't necessarily mean that you're supposed to, good parenting skills is not to actually get angry at the kid, even if you want the kid to feel that you are angry at them, right? Because you want them to feel that if you're really losing it, then you probably don't want to discipline the kid, right? Or the student, or whoever. So, Vayichar, getting angry, although the simple shot sounds like he got angry and he threw it down, but if the idea was getting in order to teach a lesson, as it were, then getting angry was part of the shock value, right? Okay, so let's take a look and see what some of the classical texts have to say about these psukim, which I hope what we've accomplished just by going through this exercise is to indicate that it's not so simple. It's not so simple, and it's worth the commentary. So I want to start, let's take a look at this sheet, which has some of the, about four Makoros on it, printed. Starts with the Ramban, Shmos 32. So the Ramban says the following. Haya ra'ui sheyazkir hakasuv kol ma'ase haluchos b'pasuk vayitein el Moshe le'el, lamed alef yudches, kasher ma ksuvim be'etzba Elohim, aval hizkiro bikan l'saper b'ma'alatan. Excuse me. Lomar, ki lo nimna Moshe b'chol zeh milashaber otam, ki chara lo bira'oto hama'ase harahahu v'lo yachol l'hitapek. All right. Now he was emotionally distraught. Now vayichar af is ordinarily understood as anger, and the Ramban says kicharalo, which we could assume means anger at the kicharalo birosa ma'asara v'lo yachol lehitapek. He couldn't hold himself back, even though we're talking about the holiest of the holy, as Joy said, this is the holiest thing over here. So the Ramban gives us sort of two counter-indicating approaches. One approach is that Lo nimna mechol zeh milashaber osam. Moshe did not hold back from breaking these luchos, even though they were so extraordinarily valuable and so precious. And they were written with the hand of Hashem. Ki chara lo bir'oso hama'aseh harahu v'lo yachol litapek. It sounds like, the way I read the Ramban, it's like he couldn't, it's like he couldn't hold back. He couldn't, lo yachol litapek. But it sounds like lo yachol litapek is sort of, in other words, he knew what he was doing, but it had to be done. That's how I read the Ramban. He knew what he was doing, but it had to be done. Or Ki'inyan Shehizkira Botenu, or he cites the Medrash in Shmos Rabba, Shepara Chaksav Ata Bivo'o Bigvul, that the letters of the Luchos flew off the stone as he came close to the border with the Egel, close to the Tumah and close to the Sin. So I think what the Medrash is struggling with this problem. So the Medrash answers this struggle by saying, well, he threw down the Luchos, right, after the letters had flown away. Right? So now it's like not such a big deal anymore. Okay? But I want you to keep in mind that Medrash and take a look at the Rashbam in the next source. Ve'ashlech miado kishara es ha'egel, when Moshe saw the egel, toshash kocho, v'lo haya bo koach v'hishlicham rachok mimenu k'tzas shelo yazikes raglav b'naflam. That when Moshe saw what was going on, he was just ill from it all. Like he just was sapped from all of his strength. This is the people that he took out of Mitzrayim. This is, you know, all the pain and all the suffering. This is the energy. This is the investment. This is everything. And now, ad kan hi, ad heichan higanu. This is the point that we get to? That after all of that, after all the effort and energy and investment in Yad Hashem and miracles and, I mean, and this is where the people end up serving a foreign god, an egel. Kishira es ha'egel, toshash kocho. He was weakened by it. He just the strength was sapped out of his body. Right? It's like just to put a sort of modern terminology around this, say he was just like depressed. He was just depleted and depressed from this. Right? You put all your kochos into it. And this is what you get. It's just, you just don't have the koach to go on. So what does the Rashbam say? V'lo haya bo koach, he didn't have the strength. V'hishlicham rachok mimenu k'tzas, he just tossed it away from himself a little bit. It does mean that he threw it away, but it doesn't mean that he threw it away in anger. the chara that he felt here was that he was depressed, and he tossed it away so that way it wouldn't fall on his toe and break his toe. Very sort of practical explanation here, which addresses the pshat problem of Moshe getting angry and smashing the luchos. So if the Ramban says that he couldn't hold back, and the Medrash Rabbah says that the osios parchos, that the letters flew away, you know, and he wasn't able to hold it. Maybe, you know, flesh out the Medrash, that with the, you know, without the, this is sort of homiletic, without the letters of the Torah on the tablets, they're just heavy stones. Right. So you know, just can't lo yichol hisapek. You know, he couldn't hold on to it. But the Rashbam says that he threw it away. Shelo yazik yisraglov. He shouldn't break his toes. But there are kolmashlichem asavik kishein bahem koach laseis. Just like anybody who's holding a very heavy thing, they don't want to break their legs, so they toss it away from themselves just for self defense. So the Rashbam says that when it says he was angry, that's not the thing to focus on. Vayichar af maybe means he was angry. The Rashbam seems to say that the emotion here was not anger, but the emotion was, or maybe it was anger, but he was sapped from his strength. He was just simply tashash kochel. He was sapped from his strength. And when he threw it, he didn't throw it out of anger. He was throwing it to make sure that, you know, that he didn't collapse under the weight and get and himself crushed under the weight of these luchos. Okay, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, which the Rashbam references here. Take a look. I underlined for you in the third source here. It says Vayar Yored Vayar Luchos Sovlenes. Am Yisrael Atzmon ves Moshe Atzmo Iman uKishiro HaEgel ves Kishiro HaEgel ves Hamacholos Barchu Aksuva Me'al Aluchos Nimtzu Kvedim Al Yado Moshe. When the letters flew away, so the stones were heavy. V'lo Haya Moshe Yacholis Bolas Atzmo V'lo Es Aluchos V'Yishlichan Miyado V'Nishtabru Tachas Sahar. So he wasn't able to hold it, and he cast it off, and it V'Nishtabru. Look at the words of Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. V'Nishtabru. What were you saying, Joyce? Yeah, right. He didn't smash them; they broke. Right? They broke. So says Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Okay. And then finally, the fourth source on this page over here is at least what you were referencing. Hasir sur shahaya naki ma asa. Let's say don't blame the messenger. What? It's not the messenger, it's the message, right? So, don't blame the messenger. Hasir Sur, Moshe Rabbeinu was the messenger here. Hayanaki, and he was, you know, pure as the driven snow. Ma'asa, Natal es, I should say, probably Natal saluchas, lamaha davar dome. What is this, what's the mashal here? Lisar sheshalach lekadesh isha, somebody who sent a messenger to betroth a woman, im hasirsur, with a messenger, halach v'kilkila im acher, ksubasa, let's see, I think this might be a little out of word, acher ksubasa, mashenotan lo hasar l'katsha, v'kara amar mutav shetadon kipnu yevlo ke'eshas ish, kachas amosha. I think that there are a couple of words that are that did not come out here or out of order. And it reads as follows. This is along the lines of at least what you were saying. That so he sent a messenger to be Mekadesh, this woman. And the woman was unfaithful. So he takes the ksuba, right, and he rips it up. Mutav shetidon kipnuya. Rather, she should be judged as an unmarried woman, the lo ke'eshas ish, and not like an unfaithful wife. Kachasa Moshe, this is what Moshe did. When Moshe smashes the luchos, he's not smashing the luchos. He's tearing up the ksuba. He is, as you said, trying to save the people from this responsibility. Kevan she'asa Yisrael oso ma'isa natalas haluchos v'shavran. When the Jewish people did the act of worshiping the Egel, the unfaithful, the infidelity to God in this metaphor, so he took the lochos v'shavran and he took it and he broke them. Kilomar she'elu hayu roin onshan lo chatu. The Odamar Moshe mutav nidon in lamasha haya kasu beluchos. The onashetzlo zoveach lelhim yacharam, etc. The al yu amezidin lefikach shavers haluchos. So we have yet another approach here that tries to dial back what seems to be the simple pshat of the pasuk. The simple pshat being that he got angry, he smashed them out of anger. Right. So maybe he didn't smash them out of anger. Maybe it was somehow to help Klal Yisrael, as the Medrash says that he preferred that Klal Yisrael without. This is the marriage document between the Jewish people and Hashem. So smashing up, tearing up this document is, before the people get it, before the bride gets the ksuba, right? Before this nuptials is concluded, saves them from that responsibility. This wasn't an act of anger and spitefulness or pride. This was an act of love. Right? An act of love. So, if you go back to the pasuk, Vayichar af Moshe, Moshe was quite upset. Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos, vayishaber osam tachas ahar. So, he was upset, he was angry. You know, they had, this should not be understood as a conjunction. Vayichar af Moshe, Moshe got angry. And he thus smashed the luchos. Maybe read it this way. Vayichar af Moshe. Moshe was angry. And despite his anger, despite his disappointment, despite his utter rage, if you will, Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos vayishaber es tazam tachas ahar. He tore up the ksuba. That's how the Medrash tries to walk back the simple pshat of the pasuk. I don't think it's the simple read of the pasuk, but it is not an unreasonable read. If we understand that Moshe really had the best interests of Klal Yisrael at heart, and he wasn't just a vindictive parent or a vindictive, rabbi, leader, whatever. And I think that Moshe's life, in other words, the text of the pasuk might indicate a pshat orientation, but Moshe's life indicates some type of contextual midrash. Because Moshe is the one who pleads to Hashem not to destroy the Jewish people for their infidelity in one way or another, right? Didn't we have Mecheni na Misifrecha just 2 weeks ago or whatever? Last week we had Parshas Tetzaveh. Parshas Tetzaveh, the Baal HaTorim says, is the parsha in which when Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you don't forgive the Jewish people, Mecheni na Misifrecha, wipe me out from your. This is the Parsha Tetzaveh where Moshe's name isn't mentioned. So Moshe's life counter indicates the pshat of the pasuk. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have a completely different pshat. It's probably totally off the wall, but I have.
It's probably correct because usually when you say it's off the wall, it doesn't. It's usually straight on. Yeah.
To change the grammar a little bit, I mean, get on the thing. Moshe is not the one who threw the. Right, your first Moshe's negotiating with God and saying, be nice to these people.
Right.
Forgive them. Moshe comes in. I looked through. 32:19.
All right,
and then he gets angry.
Right.
Okay. And then the tablets are thrown from his hand. God, at the point where he sees that Moshe gets angry, sees this is not the time for it.
You're assigning by Yishaber to Hashem that God breaks them.
Yeah,
that God is the one who breaks.
Yeah, first of all, that's the other thing.
In other words, God
pulls out of his hand,
right?
And then it breaks.
Right.
So it's nothing. If all those other explanations, if it falls out, it's not like he broke them. It right. broke as a result of falling out.
Right. According, not all the explanations said that. We said some of that one was right. that, you know, he tossed it away so he shouldn't fall on his toe.
If you change the pronoun there, it's like.
Right.
Because it doesn't fit with all of the discussion before we tried to defend it.
Right. And the 10 psukim later where he says if you don't forgive them, wipe me away from your book.
Right. Then that really.
Right. So again, if you just look at this pasuk in and of itself, so pshat is pshat, you can argue. But pshat cannot come in a vacuum. There is a context. Moshe Rabbeinu does have a life story as a backdrop to argue against the simple pshat of the pasuk. However, Judy, you could say that when he says mecheinina mesifrecha, that's 10 psukim later. That's after maybe he experiences the rage, and then he walks back and he says, no, this is not the way to go. I am retracting that approach. God, you forgive them, if not, mecheni na mesifrecha. In other words, because that happens 10, 15 psukim later when he says mecheni na mesifrecha. So either he's saying, you know what, God, I can be angry with them, but you can't. Or, I regret that I was angry with them, and therefore, you know, save them. Right? So, but that's post facto. So the two ways that you could potentially read this, but that's an interesting view about assigning the pronoun to a different antecedent. Yeah. Okay. All right. Take a look, if you would, at, let's see. I gave you three sheets, right? Yeah, there we go. The Meshe Chachma. This is a somewhat famous Meshe Chachma, Meir Simcha of Divinsk. And we'll conclude with, I think, a beautiful thought from Rav Soloveitchik. So the Meshe Chachma, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's somewhat long, but I did boldface a piece of it. So starting from the top, Ha'inyan, second line from the top. Ki haTorah v'amunah heim ikarei ha'uma ha'yisraelit. The Torah and faith, these are the central foundational pillars of the definition of the Jewish people. B'chol ha'kedushos, Eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim, and all of the other holy attributes of Klal Yisrael, whether it's Israel, Yerushalayim, etc., hema pirtei usnifei haTorah. These are details of the Torah. V'niskadshu b'kedushas haTorah. So Joyce said at the beginning that Moshe took this thing which was extraordinarily holy, and according to the simple pshat of the pasuk is somewhat problematic and unexpected that he would take this holy, holy item and destroy it. So Meshe Chachma says, the essential holiness of the Jewish people, right, is the Torah and the faith. And all these other accoutrements, Israel, Yerushalayim, etc., these are details within it. V'lachein, and therefore, Ein chiluk l'chol inyanei haTorah bein makom bein bezman v'hishava be'eretz Yisrael v'chutz la'aretz. And therefore, on the whole, barring specific mitzvos to Eretz Yisrael, but on the whole, there is no distinction between mitzvah A and mitzvah B, between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz. They're all equal, because the essential thing is the Torah and the Emuna, and then within the Kedusha of the Torah, all the various mitzvos, you can't start having a pecking order. You also can't draw a distinction between very pious and righteous people and the low people. Everybody has the obligation. Umosha, lo kar'o haTorah rak sirsur. Moshe is not the giver of the Torah. He is not the author, I should say, of the Torah. He is simply the messenger. Aval ein hityachsut haTorah lo, vaTorah hi mechuyevet hamitziyut, ki kutsha v'oraisa chad. Moshe does not own the Torah. Moshe does not define the Torah. Moshe does not have special, yichus with a relationship with the Torah. It's not his. God and the Torah are one entity. Okay. So let's skip down now to the next paragraph. V'al zeh, boldface. And this is what Moshe was crying out about. Ha'im tidamu ki ani inyan ve'ezo kedusha bilti mitzvah sa Hashem ad ki beheder kvodi asitem lachem egel. Are you giving me some type of special standing that I have a particular that I am necessary for the Torah? I'm not necessary for the Torah. And like somehow without me, the Torah is somehow incomplete. Ad ki beheder kvodi asitem lachem ego. Without my presence, you made an ego. Chalila, gam ani ish kimochem. I'm a man just like you. I'm a human being. V'hatorah ina tluya bi. V'afim lo basi haisa hatorah b'mitziyusa b'li shinui chalila. And had I, Moshe Rabbeinu, not come forth, nothing in the Torah would be any different. All the mitzvos would be the same. And skip to the next bold. And you shouldn't think that the mikdash or the mishkan, these are somehow separate, somehow special holy things in and of themselves. Chalila. Hashem yisbarach shore betoch banav. God dwells amongst the people. V'yemheima ke'adam avru kibris, as the pasuk says in Hosea. V'yoser mizeh, furthermore, next bold-faced, haluchos michtav Elokim. The luchos are God's handiwork. Gam heima einam kidoshim be'etzem rak b'shvilchem. What makes the Torah holy is that God gifted the Torah to you, the Jewish people. V'chasher zonsa kala betoch upasa heima nechshavim le'nivle echeres ve'ein bahem kedusha mitzar atzmam. And when the Jewish people show infidelity to God and, you know, basically go off under the chuppah and are intimate with with another spouse, these are just rocks. There's nothing special to it. The luchos are luchos because of the relationship that you, Klal Yisrael, have with the luchos. They're not kodesh in and of themselves. Rak bishvilchem shatem shomrim oso. Because you have it, and you guard it, and you invest it. And it comes from, and it's part of Hashem. Kutcha brichu v'raisachadu. Sof davar. End of the game here. Ein shum inyan kadosh ba'olam miyuchas lo havodah v'achnia v'rak Hashem yisparach shmo hu kadosh b'metzios ha'mechliyaves. The lo na'avah tehila v'avodah. The only thing which is inherently kodesh, before, during, and after, from the beginning of eternity to the end of eternity, is the Ribbono Shel Olam, God Himself. B'chol ha-kedushos heima mitzad tzivui shetziva ha-borei livnos mishkan lasos bo zvachim v'karbonos l'shem yisbarach bilvad. And everything else is invested in Kedusha because of what it is intended, its function to be. Skip to the next bold face. V'zehu v'ayik ha-sher karav el ha-machaneh v'yar es ha-egel l'mecholos. And this is the meaning when it says that Moshe came to the camp and he saw everything that was going on and he got angry, Vayicharaf Moshe, and he throws it down. Fourth line in. Ritzono lomar. Ki ein shum kedusha v'inyan eloki klal biladei metzius habori yisparach shmo. There is nothing inherently holy other than God. V'yenhevi haluchos hayu kimachlifim egel beluach v'lo saru muta usam. He brought his luchos, and had Moshe Rabbeinu gone through with bringing the luchos, they just would have substituted the egel with the luchos. Their misconception would not have been corrected. And the luchos would have just been a thinner, slimmer, sleeker egel. Ulam kasher shavaris haluchos, but when Moshe smashed the luchos in front of them, as Brian pointed out, shock value. Ra'u echema lo higiu al matarasa emuna baruchu v'taraso hatahora. The people would come to a recognition that they missed the point, and they would understand that if Moshe Rabbeinu was smashing these stones, then these stones are just stones, and they would some be sort of shocked into realization that it is they that have to invest these stones with Kedusha by dint of their actions, activities, emuna, bitachon, by dint of their relationship with God, Torah, and mitzvos. they made a mistake with the luchos, with the egel, and they would make the same mistake with the luchos. Had Moshe not broken them, breaking the luchos was not a consequence of anger. Breaking the luchos was an act of love. Skip to flip the page. V'lachei nasan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yasher she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu psolcha shnei luchos avanim v'kasafti ala luchos asher shibarta haynu gam ken lihos la'os ala shor shelimadet alahem b'shviros haluchos. Meshech Chachma says that these broken luchos were kept forevermore. If these broken luchos were a consequence of Moshe's angry outburst, this was Moshe acting out, then they really don't have any value. But the Meshech Chachma says, no, they do have value, because these are the luchos that taught the Jewish people what the luchos are. Ki luchos v'shivrei luchos munachan ba'aron. It is the luchos that are in the aron forevermore, and these broken tablets were also kept in the aron. Lahoros, in order to teach, ki harishonim asher mais elokim hema, hu b'chvodo asa'an. Hema shivurim, the luchos shepasal Moshe, heim shleimim. The luchos that God crafted, those are broken. The luchos that Moshe crafted, these are the ones that stay. So we begin with the problem of Moshe Rabbeinu smashing the luchos at what seems to be the pshat of the psukim, and whether it's the Ramban or the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer or the Medrash Rabbah, everybody's struggling with it, trying to dial it back. And perhaps the Meshech Chachma the Meshech Chachma is a very, very powerful way of understanding Moshe's action was not an act of anger, but an act of love. And we conclude in our remaining moments here with a beautiful idea of the Rav. I have it for you. This is from the Rav on the Chumash, and it's in English. Vayashlech miyadav es haluchos. There's a disagreement among Chazal regarding the circumstances surrounding the breaking of the tablets. Most opinions maintain that Moshe intentionally broke the tablets since he did not want to present them to the idolatrous nation. To support this premise, we have the passage in Bava Basra, in which God congratulates Moshe for having broken the tablets. Indeed, if one reads the biblical description of the event closely, this version of the event is consistent. Moses' anger was kindled, and he flung the tablets from his hand. And this was a good thing. There is another opinion that Moses did not break the tablets deliberately, but they fell from his hands and broke on their own. The Yalkut Shimoni says, Moshe looked at the tablets and saw the writing fly away. They became heavy in Moses' hands, and they fell from his hands, and they shattered. An interesting observation, and now this is the Rav's observation. An interesting observation can be made in this latter version. In preparation for presenting the second set of tablets, Moshe was asked to carve two blank tablets and carry them up Mount Sinai. And it says, so Moshe hewed two stone tablets like the first, and Moshe rose early in the morning and ascended the mountain, and the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. Now apparently, carrying these two stones up the mountain presented no difficulty at all for Moshe. And yet we have a whole tradition in Chazal and in our the Chachamim that these stones were too heavy for Moshe as he was coming down the mountain. It wasn't too heavy for him when he was going up the mountain the second time around. But when he was coming down, they broke. They fell out of his hands and broke. While simple physics would suggest that climbing a mountain with a heavy load is more difficult than descending with the same load, the Torah's account disagrees with the physics in this detail. Because the Torah formulated a paradoxical law that contradicts our day-to-day experience. One who climbs Mount Sinai can carry a load more effectively than one who descends it. And if I were teaching this in my high school class, I would say triple underline that. One who climbs Mount Sinai can carry a load more effectively than one who descends it. Man can exist in one of two states, as object or as subject, as one who acts or one who is acted upon. If, for example, a person climbs a mountain concentrating on the difficult task at hand, skip to page side 3. A person acts as a gavra as long as he opposes external forces. The mountain climber opposes the force of gravity. The gavra mobilizes his energy and free will against such forces. The Chefza does not act against these forces of nature, but is subservient to them. The metaphor of descent as it applies to the Chefza is similarly applied when Israel sinned, as God told Moshe, "Go descend, for your people that have you have brought up the land have acted corruptly." Moshe was an ascender when, as Gavra, filled with love for the Creator, he pined for the confirmation of God's forgiveness towards his people. In this role, Moshe could overcome all psychological and physical obstacles. And in the cold wind of morning, he climbed the mountain to meet the Master of the Universe. Moshe, in disguise, was capable of carrying not only two tablets, but the entire world on his shoulders. But after Moshe had climbed the mountain the first time, at what would have been this moment of triumph, the sinning nation defeated him. God's voice thundered, "I have bestowed greatness on you only for the sake of Israel." And Moshe's defeat came at the hands of the iniquitous nation under his charge. An unbearable force was unleashed upon Moshe, propelling him downward until he could no longer hold the tablets aloft. In one instant, the greatest of all men turned into an object, a descender. The tablets became too heavy for Moshe to bear, and he shattered them at the foot of the mountain. So, somewhat of a tragedy, but also a beautiful idea, that although Moshe was unable to hold the tablets on the way down, when a person is in a descent, when a person is in a state of spiritual and psychological decline, divested of the strength that enables him to achieve or her to achieve, does it. The same tablets are just too heavy to bear. But those same very heavy tablets, when Moshe ascended the mountain, going up to meet Hashem, as he says, in the dawn of the day and the chill of morning, he had all the energy in the world. Because to create, to build, to do, comes with it the spark of energy, which is the energy of creation that God invests within each of us. So, on this, I just end with the following note, that we should be zocha to build and to create and to see the kedusha of Hashem's mitzvos and to see the kedusha of the tablet of the luchos as a consequence of Hashem's kedusha and our investment in it, and that should give us the motivation and the energy to accomplish more than perhaps we thought we were capable of doing. And with that, we will close. All right, Mir Tzashem, we will meet again next week, same time.